Dead Man Winter is a side project of Trampled by Turtles' Dave Simonette. Great album called Furnace, and that one's Destroyer, the song, on 90.3 KMBA. It was new music from Van William, Before I Found You. Started out with Kurt Vile and Courtney Barnett, Continental Breakfast, Squoze, some Birds of Chicago in there, with Estrella Goodbye, and a great collaboration with Rhett Miller and Black Prairie. 8:25, it is the Morning Line program for Tuesday. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Danny Preston.
And I'm Frank Chithlick, and hey, you're tuned into our community. It's right here on Morning Line. We've got some a fabulous guest in the studio, but first I want to get a couple of announcements in, talking about different traditions coming up. You can celebrate Elizabeth Prachovich Day with a potluck and celebration Friday the 16th from 5:30 to 7:30, hosted by the Alaska Native Sisterhood and Anchorage Tribes of Tlingit and Haida Indians of Alaska. You can join them in the Alaska Native Medical Center Conference Room 2. Also, I see that the Festival of Native Arts is coming up the 1st through the 3rd in Fairbanks at UAF campus, and you can check out Alaska's Native Cultures and People. It's a free and open to the public event. Information at 907-474-6864. And, of course, on the 3rd of March, the Itaina Friendship Gathering is coming to the Denaina Center. For more information about that, you can check out their Facebook page or call 907-646-3115. And speaking of traditions.
All right, thanks very much, Frank. The tradition, Urban Homesteading 101 series continues at the Anchorage Museum. And joining us to chat about tonight's event is Yari Walker. Yari's Siberian Yupik from Savunga on St. Lawrence Island. And so good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me here this morning. I hope you guys are doing well.
Very well, thank you. Okay, so the theme with urban homesteading at the museum tonight is whale harvest. Do we learn how to harvest whales, or what goes on?
You have to learn that. Our young hunters train at a very young age through observation, and their fathers and their uncles and their grandfathers taking them out.
And you had some good news from home.
I do. My nephew, Agara Krista Passingok, and his father, Daniel Passingok, and their crew landed a whale 2 days ago, 47-footer.
Wow. So there's a lot of celebrating there.
Oh, yes. So I'm looking forward to some fresh mangtuk.
Everybody gets to share it? Or
yes, they get a share. As a matter of fact.
One giant GE freezer and
yep.
For a whole whale. Okay.
As a matter of fact, I saw his mother's post this morning saying that they went out and delivered some share to the elders in the village.
Wow. Tremendous. Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Really diminishes my couple of rainbow trout I caught the other day. So. Okay, so what are we going to see at the museum then?
Well, tonight I'll be speaking about the importance of bowhead whale hunting and what it means to our people. And I'll be talking about how sacred it is and some of the experiences I had regarding the bowhead whale and the things I witnessed growing up among my people. And bowhead whale hunting, I remember my grandfather would say, which means bowhead whale hunting is very sacred to our people. And so that is one of the absolute most joyous times for our people. Our people get together in community and unity, and whether you are getting along with your neighbor or not, or you're having issues with other people, there comes a time when you have to come together and work together in unity.
So really, really key to the whole process is the spiritual and community component.
It's very, very spiritual.
So how young do whalers, this is going to be really naive, Yari, but how young do young whalers start to learn the trade? And is it pretty typical that most young people traditionally participate?
Well, I can't speak on behalf of all the families, but the ages vary. It depends on each family. Like for my brother, I want to say he was probably preteens when he first started going out whale hunting. I'm not 100% sure, but that's from what I remember.
Just harvesting the whale, I mean, just getting the whale is one step, but it's a pretty complex process to actually storing and canning or whatever, and to the time it gets to the table. And besides food, there are what else is whale used for?
Well, we use the baleen. My father would make sleds out of baleen for his grandkids for Christmas, or he would use them when he's out walking out on the ice going hunting or fishing, and he would tow a baleen sled behind his back. Or today people make them, they weave them into basket, they cut them into thin strips, and you make them pliable. You soak them in the water, and then you make them into baskets. There's lots of things they use it for. People hang them on their walls these days, and they use the jawbones. Traditionally, we put the jawbones outside of our village. That was kind of like your address or your, what do you call it? Your landmarker is what they would use it for. And then, of course, the bones, the rest of the bones. Traditionally, the ribs would be used as part of your structure for your ninglu or your house, your traditional side house.
You know, we walk through a mall and we see hanging on a wall baling as a decoration without really necessarily feeling any cultural connection there, let alone what is baling, how does it filter the krill, how does it affect, you know, people's lives, and there's so much depth and meaning that we don't know about. And so hopefully at the museum,
absolutely,
folks will learn a little bit more about that.
I want to share quickly a vision I had of the bowhead whale several months ago. It was in my sacred place when I was approached by the spirit of the bowhead whale. And the spirit of the bowhead whale said that it has two reasons for its existence. One is to teach the human race about peace, because it is the most peaceful being on earth. And two, the bowhead whale said, with my flesh comes traditional values. And what the bowhead whale meant was all the values that you see of our people when a bowhead whale is harvested.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing it. So 5:30 to 7:30 this evening in the Art Lab at the Anchorage Museum, Urban Homesteading 101, Whale Harvest. So we actually get to learn how to put our whale up for the summer or for the winter.
Talking about that. Dr. Gary Ferguson will also be there doing a presentation on traditional foods. So I'm very excited to be working with him tonight.
Okay, tremendous. Registration required. So go online to anchoragemuseum.org, find out about all that good stuff. And Yara, I know that you got a busy, busy day going here. I don't want to hold you up too long here, but I really appreciate you coming in. It's very nice to see you again. Anything else you want to add?
No, I just look forward to seeing people tonight, hopefully, and have a great time with all the people and just educate people. So I'm very excited.
Okay, Yara Walker, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
On Morning Line. Okay, Anchorage Museum, 5:30 to 7:30 this evening. 8:33 with music still to come from Michelle Endiguer Cello, Brett Denon, and more.
Playwright Mary Catherine Nagel covers a modern jurisdiction battle alongside Cherokee removal in her new play called Sovereignty. Nagel is also a lawyer that specializes in Indian law and sovereignty. Listen in as we feature Nagel as our Native in the Spotlight. Join us for the next Native America Calling.
News programming on KNBA is sponsored by BP Alaska, fueling Alaska's future.